Welcome to Health Hats, empowering people as they travel together toward best health. I'm Danny Van Leeuwen, a two-legged, cisgender, old white man of privilege, living in a food oasis who can afford many hats and knows a little bit about a lot of healthcare and a lot about very little. Most people wear hats one at a time, but I wear them all at once. We will listen and learn about what it takes to adjust to life's realities in healthcare's Tower of Babel. Let's make some sense of all of this. Someone asked me the other day, how did you get to podcasting? I'm thinking I can piece the story back to 1969, freshman year at Wayne State University in Detroit. I took a creative writing class. My professor scoffed at my desire to combine creative writing with scholarly writing. Forget it. Can't be done. They're totally different. I wrote some bad poetry and a short story for the class. I got a C. In my second year of college, I was ready to drop out and travel. Trying to keep me enrolled, a professor suggested I do a series of independent studies while traveling. I drove to Mexico with my second family, the Keeneys. While laying in a hammock in Zihuatanejo with severe diarrhea, I wrote a story cribbing the style of Ken Nordine's Were Jazz. Check them out. I called the story Flippity-Doo-Dah, Flippity-Day. Then I went to Europe hitchhiking for 8 weeks, and I wrote a travelogue in the style of Mark Twain's Innocents Abroad and Roughing It. What a hoot. I dropped out anyway. A few years later, I went to nursing school and became a direct care nurse. During the next 20 years as a student of individual health, I wrote very little. Well, except we homeschooled, and we had a newsletter for friends and family that we called Boluan Stirrings. It was a play on our last names, Boland and Van Leeuwen, with a logo of balloons with strings. We thought we were clever. I didn't really become a prolific writer until the next phase of my career as a manager. I was a nurse manager, I was a master's of public health student, and a performance improvement leader. During that 25-year management phase, I was a student of organizational health and wrote a thesis and tons of reports and papers. One of the jobs I had was with the Healthcare Association of New York State. It was my first consulting gig. There I met a professional editor and soaked up everything I could about editing, a critical skill for a writer. A quick break to plug myself. See the show notes or my website, www.health-hats.com, and click on blog podcast for more information, to subscribe or contribute. If you like it, share it. Thanks. In 2001, I discovered Seth Godin's weekly blog and began to think about my mission and my audience. I fancied myself a change catalyst, a marketer of ideas, data, healthcare improvement. I began asking myself, how can my reports tell a story about the data, the analysis, the processes of care, and the business of health? Would it motivate people to make a change? In 2008, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. A wrench in the works? Well, not really. While the diagnosis was a shock, I had begun feeling the symptoms 25 years earlier. Although I had been consistently misdiagnosed, I had been adapting to my slow, progressive changes in function. I became a student of best health, living at peak capacity, no matter my genetics, circumstances, abilities, environment, and conditions. 7 years ago, I met Jane Sarason Khan, a health economist and an author of a weekly blog, Health Populi. Check it out. I still read it. I had been following her blog for several years. We were both appointed to a national panel and sat next to each other over dinner. I gushed. I love your blog. I could never do what you do. I've heard everything I've had to say already, and I'm not that interested in myself anymore. Jane said, "All right, meet me for breakfast. We got to talk." Over breakfast, I spoke about my experiences as a patient, a nurse, caregiver, boss, and information technology manager. "You're health hats," Jane said. "You should start your own blog." That was a spark. So what did I need to start blogging? Luckily, I went from Chicago to Cape Cod for a family week. My friend Eric helped me claim the Health Hats URL and build a WordPress site. I was up and running. Somehow, I landed on a weekly discipline. I started with about 30 family and friend readers and subscribers who have remained diehard followers to this day, 7 years later. Except my mom, who died several years ago, I read every post to her on the phone on Sunday before publishing for 3.5 years before she died. My only missed post in 7 years was the week she died. I started with those 30 subscribers that grew to 135 subscribers and has never grown bigger since, even now. 3 years ago, I tried to upgrade my website, and I broke 3 things for every 2 I fixed. It was a mess. I wanted to use social media, but I felt like I was drinking dirty water from a fire hose. I had no idea what I was doing. I needed a coach, a web and social media coach, and I met Kayla Nelson through WeGo Health. Kayla and I video chat a couple times a month, and she guides me through the intricacies of the web and social media. That's been invaluable. My readership on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Medium has grown from between 250 to 3,000 reads a week. If that wasn't enough, I took the Alex DePalma, Seth Godin Podcasting Fellowship and started podcasting about 9 months ago. Since then, I've published more than 400 combined blog and podcast episodes. And my readership hasn't changed, and my listenership has grown from around 40 a week to around 60 a week. Not that I understand podcasting statistics very well. So now I write creatively and scholarly. What a hoot. I'm telling stories as an action catalyst. Oh, and I have a sponsor who found me and cared about my content and my small audience. Let me reintroduce you to Abridge. And now, a quick break to hear about our sponsor, Abridge. I see many clinicians on a regular basis, way too many. I'm appalled at how little I can remember when I get home. My wife asks me, "What did she say? What about this medication or that test?" I'm happy to remember half of it. To help me remember everything, I downloaded a new smartphone app called Abridge. Now, when I talk to the doctor, I ask if it's okay to record our conversation. Nobody has said no yet. I push a big pink button to record, and after I'm done, the transcript from our audio appears. Not the whole thing, that's too much, but sections around medical keywords like fatigue, pain, tests, exercise, meds. Now when I'm done, I can share my visit with my wife and she can listen to exactly what the doctor said. Abridge was created by patients, doctors, and caregivers. Check out the app at abridge.com. ABRIDGE.com. Or download it on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Record your health conversations. Let me know how it went. So what's my story now? As you hear in my podcast intro, I'm an old white man of privilege with multiple sclerosis committed to health equity, capacity building, and learning and sharing what works for best health. Serving people who help people by leveraging my privilege and experience to open seats at the table of healthcare governance, design, operations, and research for underrepresented and underserved communities. I'm a speaker, a podcaster, a technical expert, a user tester, and a coach. I know a little bit about a lot of healthcare and a lot about not much. I'm the Rosetta Stone of healthcare. Why do I keep at it? First, I can't help it. I'm a content machine. Out it comes. Second, using Seth Godin's term, I podcast to make a ruckus. For me, making a ruckus means sharing stories of learning on the journey towards best health, asking hard questions, and translating those stories and lessons so a diverse and varied audience can appreciate them. How do you hit a home run making a ruckus? I'm trying to move the needle of healthcare a couple of degrees. A couple of degrees of what? Well, a couple of degrees towards more self-confidence, more participation, more collaboration, more dignity, and more inclusion. Third, I podcast for connection. Connecting people to support each other as they make decisions about their health and make a ruckus themselves. And to keep my connections to people. Wait a minute. I should tell you the truth. I'm really a selfish person at heart. I'm a storytelling patient caregiver activist living at peak capacity. I couldn't say that before my diagnosis. I podcast mostly for myself. So what are the lessons here? What's the moral of my story? Life is unpredictable. Careful with what you can't or won't do. It might sprout when the ground is fertile. You might just do it. Tragedy can open the door to possibilities, even life-saving possibilities. Accept where you find yourself and push onward. Thanks for listening to my brief rant. More interviews for you in production. Stay tuned. And make a ruckus. Follow my blog, podcasts, and resources through my website. See you around the block.